Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. My very special guest today is Lemon Grove Councilman Jerry Jones, who's running for re-election. He's one of four candidates vying for two seats on the council. He was first elected to the Lemon Grove Council back in 2002, and he's currently the mayor pro tem. Before that, he served on the Lemon Grove School Board. During his tenure on the council, he has served as chairman of Sandag's Regional Planning Committee, and he's currently chairman of the Metro Wastewater Commission. And he's also a retired auto mechanic who says he knows how to fix things. Well, I'm sure that that's a skill that must come in handy on any city council. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, what do you consider your most important accomplishments on the city council? What things are you most proud of?
You know, I never would have dreamed when I started all this 16 years ago that wastewater would be one of my biggest accomplishments. But I took the chair of Metro Wastewater JPA and Commission a year and a half ago when San Diego was coming online with their pure water program, their water purification program. That program affects us all, and we're all going to pay for it. And we are working with San Diego to negotiate the cost split in that and where we go in the next steps. I've actually gotten them to start talking to us early about the next steps so that we make sure that we're doing value engineering in the early stages of this. So these days I'm talking to way too many engineers.
Very good. Well, thanks for sharing that. What do you view currently as the most important issues facing Lemon Grove, and how would you address them if you are reelected?
Obviously, the big one for all of our constituents is the budget deficit that we have. You know, we're taking in less money than we're spending.
Right. I mean, Lemon Grove, we should preface this by saying it's a small city with limited revenues. Unlike some of the other local cities, they don't have a regional shopping mall or a whole bunch of car dealers or something. So they constantly have this issue of not enough revenues. There's even been some talk about unincorporating and trying to go back with the county. So what are your views, Jerry, on how do you solve the city's fiscal problems?
You know, I voted this year to not put a tax measure on the ballot. And it wasn't the fact that, as some people would tell you, that we're trying to keep the voters from having a say. That wasn't the point. The point is that we as a council had not done our homework. We were going to the voters and saying, basically, give us your money and trust me.
Yeah. Now, one of those was a sales tax revenue that was proposed, and the other would have been a tax on the marijuana dispensaries.
There were several. There were, I think, four that we were dealing with. The sales tax was one of them, and actually it's a use tax, not a sales tax. There was a utility tax, which no one would have liked that one.
That would have been unpopular.
That would have been a tax on your the bandwidth on your phone, your gas, electric.
We're already paying enough for that, I think most people think.
That one died pretty quickly. And then they wanted to raise the business license, and along with that, they were wanting to add a marijuana tax for the new dispensaries.
It begs the question, though, if you're not going to raise the taxes or ask the citizens to approve which taxes, you know, they could live with, how do you solve the problem? Because obviously there's not a lot of fat to cut in the budget. Most of it is going in Lemon Grove for public safety, police, sheriff, fire. So how do you balance the budget then?
Yeah, public safety on our budget is 78.5% of the budget. That's huge. I don't know any city that's as high as that.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that the question didn't need to be asked. It was that the proper questions hadn't been asked coming up to that point. The council hadn't done a survey. We didn't even know if the public would support it. We hadn't done a spending plan. There was no spending plan. We didn't ask the public what they wanted to spend money on besides just to maintain the city
way
that it is. The staff had a tax amount for half of a cent, which in my projections wasn't enough to cover what we had. I mean, if we'd have gone for a half a cent sales tax, they would have been back in 4 years asking for more money. I can't look at the public and say, give me your money and trust me. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be back in 4 years asking for more money.
Good point. So are they going to go forward now and do some of the things you suggest? Maybe hold some meetings or workshops for the public to come weigh in about how they would like to see budget spending prioritized and what kinds of taxes, if any, the public would be most supportive of?
You know, I've never been known as one that sugarcoats things, so let me just lay it out there for you. There's some hard decisions that people in Lemon Grove are going to have to make in the next 4 years, 2 years actually, before we have another chance to have a say on that. You got three choices. Disincorporation is one discussion to be had. That is not a free procedure. It's not like closing the doors and turning everything over to the county and saying, yeah, take us over.
Yeah, let's talk about
there's
that.
There's a cost to that.
What would it take to unincorporate? And if, you know, everything fell in line and that was even possible, is that something that you could see yourself supporting? And if so, under what circumstances? Or is that something that you think you hope won't happen?
Well, at this point, we don't know what it looks like. We don't have all the facts. I voted against putting the tax measure on the ballot.
Right.
When I did that, I actually had a plan. I didn't go into this and say, no, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I had an 11-page PowerPoint that I presented, and part of that was things that we can do as next steps. One of those has to be a discussion about disincorporation. We didn't incorporate that long ago, and there are still people in Lemon Grove that remember the city before incorporation. They're still out there, and they still think there are still people that think we made a mistake. We have to have that discussion. We have to know what it looks like. We have to know what the costs are so we can get that off the table so we can move forward to the other solutions that may be out there.
And just to be clear, you've mentioned the process for disincorporation would be the voters of Lemon Grove would have to weigh in and say, yes, we want that. And then the county would have to say, yes, we agree to it, which, you know, obviously those are some pretty big hurdles.
I've heard different things from different sources. We did have a bit of this discussion, I think, in 2010 when mm-hmm. we looked at putting a sales tax measure on back then, which we did not do. So I don't know all the details. I don't remember all the details. I've asked for that to be brought back to council so that we can have that discussion so that we know all the facts
yeah.
and we can make that determination. Now, Councilmember David Arambula also asked for that to be brought back.
So short of unincorporation, which is a fairly drastic step, do you envision other ideas? For example, maybe finding ways to bring more businesses to the city or anything else on the horizon there that you could see?
I mean, all of that's ongoing. I was a little disappointed. When we had the tax measure discussion at council, I had asked that we look at the marijuana tax for the new dispensaries we have coming into town.
Yeah, to clarify, for those that may not be familiar, Lemon Grove voters a couple of years ago did approve a ballot measure that legalized medical marijuana dispensaries, not recreational. So the question at hand is, should we tax the marijuana dispensaries? How would that marijuana tax work in Lemon Grove, where medical marijuana dispensaries have been approved by voters?
Honestly, that's another one of those conversations that should have been more in depth before we put it on the ballot. Mm-hmm. La Mesa's been working on there since January.
Well, they have, and La Mesa, interestingly, is looking at a more dramatic step. Councilman Baber told us in an interview recently that because they felt that the voter-approved initiative for medical marijuana was poorly worded and it resulted in a lawsuit over a vague definition of, you know, what's a child-centered business that you can't be near with these dispensaries, he's actually proposing that they approve an ordinance to legalize recreational marijuana because he believes if they don't, the citizens are liable to do that and they may wind up with more problems than if they simply craft their own and word it with the appropriate, you know, legalese to regulate it. La Mesa sees this as part of an answer to their fiscal issues, is let's just legalize recreational and tax it. What are your thoughts on that?
I think this is a situation where you're going to find La Mesa citizens and Lemon Grove may be a little bit different.
Yeah, there's been a lot of opposition, I know, to the dispensaries in Lemon Grove.
Very much so. And I'm not sure we completely understand the scope of that. I think let's let La Mesa work through their issues. They'll explore a lot of that for us. And then as we come into the 2020, then, you know, we do something a little more inclusive than we have been up to this point, and we start involving the business community and the citizens in a discussion on what we do and where we go with marijuana tax, recreational, and so on.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other issues. Crime and public safety are always issues of concern. Can you comment on the crime situation currently in Lemon Grove and if you have any ideas for making the city safer?
You know, it's funny. People always think that Lemon Grove has the higher crime rate in East County, and actually we're number two, usually behind Santee.
Interesting.
And then usually the rankings, when you look at the FBI statistics that come out of Sandag, it's Santee, Lemon Grove, El Cajon, and then La Mesa at the bottom, usually.
In terms of safety, interesting.
Correct, yeah, in terms of the crime. Now, a lot of people want to have more officers. there's this perception out there that we only have two officers in Lemon Grove, which is wholly untrue. I'm not really allowed to talk about the staffing because they really don't want the bad guys to know when the police are out there. But we have as many as 7 or 8 during shift changes and crossovers and the busy times of the day.
So you think overall Lemon Grove is doing fairly well?
Well, I don't think anyone in my position could say that we couldn't do better or that there aren't solutions to problems out there that the public has. I mean, I hear all the time people want more officers. Now, the problem with that is that when your budget is 78.5% public safety,
you guys have something left over for everything else.
So typically our budgets are around $14 million. All but $2.9 million, it goes to public safety. So we pretty much run all the rest of the city on $2.9 million.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A lot of people want to have an extra officer. An extra officer costs us around $190,000 a year times four shifts. That's almost, you know, by the time you figure everything out, it's almost $1 million.
Right. So unless you bring more money in, basically that's not likely to happen.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't other solutions. Proactive policing, bicycle patrols. You know, you wouldn't have to have an officer dedicated to what's called reactive policing with the really high price of it. You could do proactive policing, you know, on the areas, in the areas, and at the times when you know that you have the problems. And we know where the problems are. But a proactive policing program, which, again, needs to be looked at. We need to look at the costs and what it would look like. How many officers? Are we better off having bicycle patrols or officers in cars? There's a lot of things to be looked at and that can be done for less than $1 million. So that's something, as we begin to look at how we fix the budget, if we're going to continue as a city, if we're going to look for ways to fix the budget, then we look for the things that people are willing to pay for that they want so that we can actually have something better than what we have now.
Very interesting idea. What about infrastructure and sidewalks? That always seems to be something I know candidates tell me when they go to door-to-door that a lot of people bring up.
It's always the number one thing.
Sidewalks and potholes.
Streets and potholes. Everybody wants their streets paved. That's been that way for 16 years. Although, to be honest with you, this year I'm surprised. I'm hearing more and more people talking about wanting to clean up downtown.
Now, there has been some efforts since you've been on the council toward Lemon Grove revitalization. I understand that they've passed some improvement plans.
Well, the downtown specific plan is kind of another thing. They're always doing, you know, cleanup stuff and revitalization, you know, like landscaping and so on.
Right.
Citizens notice those things, but I think that's kind of superfluous to the real problem, which is having the streets fixed. And that's really more in the neighborhoods. Now, if Prop 6 passes, then that'll have a big impact on our budget. Prop 6, the SB1 money for streets, which a lot of people have heartburn with, triples our street budget.
So we're talking about the gas tax.
The gas tax, correct.
There's a measure on the ballot that would repeal the gas tax. How much money does Lemon Grove get for its streets from that gas tax?
About $1 million.
So that's a lot of money. All of a sudden,
that triples our budget.
If you want that new police officer or whatever, you're not going to get it if the gas tax goes away, right?
Well, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going to go on. So, I mean, that's a lot of speculation. So, on the one hand, I'm not happy about the gas tax. But on the other hand, you know, I got streets to pave. So, but in the end, as with anything like that, you know, it'll be up to the voters to make that decision, not me.
Yeah, correct. There's certainly arguments on both sides on that one. The Planning Commission, when Lemon Grove was having dire budget straits a couple of years ago, they had gotten rid of the Recreation Department and the Planning Commission and some things. And I believe those were brought back in some form. Tell us about that and your views on that.
What got us out of the budget crisis of 2009 and 2010 was eliminating the Recreation Department. That saved us about somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000 a year. Now, in context, our budget then was about $12 million. That's a pretty big deal. The Planning Commission was one of those things where, you know, you're always looking for different ways to save money. Come the election of 2014, one of the planning commissioners got elected, Jennifer Mendoza, and we had a resignation, which left us with two vacancies on the Planning Commission. Now, when you go have a planning commission that when I came on, they were meeting twice a month every year, and we made some changes. I mean, it was one of the things I wanted was to get rid of the conditional use permit process, which very cumbersome for businesses, very government intensive, you know, for compliance and so on. And as we changed that process, the planning commission was meeting five times a year. So looking at kind of opportunities with two vacancies, we thought, well, you know, this maybe this is a way. It's not a ton of money, but it's some money. Mm-hmm. And when you're pinching pennies, every penny counts. And we thought, well, let's look at shifting those responsibilities over to the city council. Now, there's other cities that already do it. Santee has a huge amount of development, and they have no planning commission.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I guess the other side of the argument would be people would say, well, but this gives the citizens an opportunity to weigh in earlier on some of these projects if you have a planning commission. So what finally happened? Are they bringing it back?
Well, that argument did come up during that whole process. And part of that process was we didn't really eliminate the planning commission. We shifted the duties to the city council, but we created what was called a Citizens Advisory Commission.
I see.
And it was something a little more flexible. They probably would have been meeting more because we would have wanted them to do more things. Mm-hmm. Recently, they just looked at homeless shelters. And as you know, it was a state requirement that we identify areas where homeless shelter could go. And so we would task them with looking at that. And there's a litany of things they can look at. They could look at budgets. They could look at homeless. They could look at the law enforcement aspects of what we were talking about earlier, proactive policing. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of policy issues that they could look at. Whereas the planning commission is, and there's been arguments either way. But
yeah, they really only look at development projects.
They look at implementation. They're not really a policy body, mm-hmm. although they do some policy work,
yeah.
Mostly their implementation. So the CAC was really very innovative, and I think would have given citizens a more chance.
Interesting.
To have a say.
So did the city get rid of that and bring back a planning
commission?
Well,
they kept the CAC, and over my objections, they brought back the planning commission, which I thought was an expense we really couldn't afford. But
yeah.
You know, we operated for over a year with the council doing the work of the planning commission with no ill effect.
Quickly, on the recreation department, what's the status on that, and what are your thoughts on that one?
You know, when they eliminated the rec department, that was a 3-2, and I was on the losing end of that. I did not want the rec to go away. You know, I always believed in spending the money on the front end rather than the back end. Keeping kids busy keeps them out of trouble.
That's true.
The one success I had in that vote was they wanted to contract that out, and I really wanted to keep that in the city. One of the things we had was especially successful, the summer camp, and I wanted to save that, which we did.
So you did. You just shifted it to a different department to be in charge? Is that what happened?
Well, yeah, we eliminated a lot of the personnel, and then it got shifted into public works rather than a standalone department. And we were able to keep some of those programs going. Biggest one was the summer camp. The summer camp has always been very successful, and it's gotten actually better every year.
Affordable housing and homelessness are two of the big issues facing every city in Southern California right now, or at least certainly all of them in East County here. Tell us about the homeless situation in Lemon Grove, and is enough being done to get help for the homeless there?
You know, homeless situation is not a situation where each city is going to have a solution. It's going to have to be a regional thing. El Cajon seems to be taking the lead in a lot of that. Our homeless situation seems to be growing every year. It's hard to say what the numbers are. The last count in time said something like 36, which I think it's much more than that. And I think that last point in time count had like 75% of them in cars. I wish I had solutions. You know, we don't have a lot of money in our budget even to deal with that.
Is Lemon Grove part of the regional task force on the homeless?
Our staff does participate in that, yes.
Yeah, okay. Affordable housing is another big issue. How do you balance the demand for more housing, especially affordable housing, against those who have concerns about parking and community character, especially when we talk about building high-rises, multi-story housing units as solutions?
Like everything in life, it's all about balance. You have to weigh the impacts on the community, and community character is important. You can't discount that. I've been an affordable housing advocate for many years. I was on the planning committee at Sandag. I actually even chaired it. The Smart Growth Incentive Map was done on my watch.
Very good.
But you have to anticipate the impacts. And you know, we had one big project in Lemon Grove, and I don't think we anticipated all the impacts.
Okay. Now, I understand Lemon Grove did build a multi-story building close to the trolley tracks to provide some housing for affordable housing as well as seniors.
Yes, Citronica is some affordable. Citronica 2 is retirement. And Celsius, which is the newer of the three projects, is market rate.
Mm-hmm. And what are your views on that? Is that something that you think Lemon Grove should do more of or not?
You know, that building, along with other development that we did in Lemon Grove, actually made us one of 13 cities in the state of California that are on track to meet our goals.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. California requires every city to participate in providing for housing. And again, we're the only one in San Diego County and one of 13 in the state.
So you did your share.
We did our share. Now, that's not that it didn't come with issues. I mean, there's a lot of people that are not happy with Citronica. We built the park there, and people are not happy with the park that we built there. So we're having issues that we need to deal with. And I think, honestly, we're going to have to deal with those issues before we build more. Mm-hmm. We owe it to the citizens to tell them, yes, we're prepared for the impacts, and we're going to be able to deal with those before we build any in the future.
Okay. You've been in public office for over two decades, Jerry, and you've had a good record, but there was one controversy that arose in 2017 when you and the city manager were sued by an activist who claimed that you had infringed on his free speech rights and that he was retaliated against for making critical comments on Facebook about you. What he claimed was that your opposition to AB 805, that was a measure that shifted power on Sandag away from East County cities, and he claimed that that your opposition to it was based on racism. As I understand it, you objected to that characterization, and the activist then claimed that his relationship with his employer was negatively impacted. He worked for a contractor that did work for the city, and your city manager had contacted them with some concerns about the comments. So, Jerry, I want to give you a chance to tell your side of the story on this. How did that case get resolved, and what would you like our listeners to know from your point of view?
Mr. Bush's remarks on Facebook were inappropriate as an employee or contractor of Lemon Grove, whether directed at myself or anyone else for that matter. While he has a right to free speech, he had a duty to his employer and to their clients, that being the city, to represent them in a way that didn't do any harm. When I was informed by a constituent of the indiscretion, I was duty-bound to share that with the city manager the same as I would with any employee or any other contractor. With regard to the lawsuit, I was asked to settle the affair with an apology and a settlement amount that was much lower than the case would have cost if we'd have taken it to court.
Right.
One could argue the outcome of the trial, but the fact that the insurance company covered the costs of the settlement, I made a decision that was best for the citizens of Lemon Grove.
I'd like to give you a chance to respond to the allegation of racism specifically. I understand the city settled it because financially that just made sense. It was cheaper than litigating it, even if you won. But could you respond to the racism concern specifically?
Well, you know, I've lived in Lemon Grove for 40 years. I've been in public office for over 20. People that know me know that that's not me. It bothers me, obviously. I've given nothing in anything that I've ever said, anything on any of my media presence or otherwise to give that kind of indication. Just because you disagree with someone in a political sense that isn't, you know, ethnically the same as you doesn't mean that you're a racist.
Yeah, the bill in question, I know a lot of people on a lot of councils all over San Diego County disagreed with it, and it was largely about shifting the geographic balance of power to the city of San Diego and the city of Chula Vista at the expense of all of the other cities. So there were certainly logical reasons why somebody might oppose it that wouldn't have anything to do with race. On another note, can you tell us, Jerry, who your major endorsements are in your race?
Boy, where do I start? Deputy Sheriff's Association has endorsed me, County Supervisor Diane Jacob and Greg Cox. Former Mayor Mary Sessom endorsed me. I think all of my former council members, Jerry Selby, Howard Cook, have endorsed me. There's a whole list. We could be here forever if I was going to read them.
No, that's an impressive sounding
school
list.
Board member Katie Dexter.
So. There you go. Where can people find more information on your candidacy, Jerry? Do you have a website page or Facebook page or something?
I do have a website and a Facebook page. My website page is jjones2018.com.
So the initial jjones2018.com.
Correct.
Very good. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Councilman Jerry Jones from the Lemon Grove City Council on his reelection campaign. Jerry, what else would you like our listeners to know about you and your candidacy for reelection?
You know, that's a difficult one to answer. I've done this so many times. You know, in a time when I really should be thinking about retiring, it's pretty obvious that the city needs experience. You know, I've brought the city through. You know, I helped bring the thing. I didn't do it alone, but I helped bring the city through the hard times of 08 and 09, and we did it without raising taxes. I think you need my business experience And I think my council experience between the two of those won't make a huge difference as we decide how we're going to work through this budget crisis that we have coming in front of us.
Very important issues. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you for having me.